You know, it's interesting that here we gather, it's normal, you know, it seems mundane in the sense that, you know, it's not really that spectacular. But a lot of times people miss the supernatural because it's not spectacular. Majority of things of being led by God in your heart is a supernatural thing, but it's not really that spectacular. There's not fireworks and explosions, you know, it's sometimes it's a still small voice, but it's life-changing. And, you know, we gather together and it's just, we see the building, we know each other, you see me week after week, and it can just seem so mundane. But I'm here to tell you that you have a chance tonight to walk out of here, your whole world can change. And you say, oh, that's not true, you're just saying that to get my attention. Well, here's the thing, is Jesus, everywhere he went in the Bible, anytime he was there, what did he do first? He preached and he taught the Word of God. And every place that the people went hungry and ready to receive and had expectation, they walked out different. It was the only time that people didn't change was when they came with that mundane, casual attitude of Mark chapter 6. Like, oh, we've heard this before. Oh, we've been here before. Oh, this is just normal. Because, and you say, but you're not Jesus. Correct, I'm not Jesus. But it was the words that Jesus spoke that changed people's lives. And I'm saying the same things that he's saying. What his words did for them back then will do for you now, praise God. And we'll see a little bit of that in the message tonight. And so I want to encourage you, you know, how you leave this place is up to you. Whether or not you leave and your future becomes different, your tomorrows become different, that's up to you, praise God. And so go with me real quick to, let's go to Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. This is part two of the series we started last week. I don't know if this is the last week or if we'll go into another one next week, but I know I'm supposed to do it today, and so today's part two of our confession series. And you need to go back and listen to last week's service if you haven't, because this stuff, you know, you'll see here in a second while I'm talking about this little bit of review, you need this stuff. If you're saying, you know what, I need healing, I need prosperity, I need victory, I need favor, I need things to change for me. Well, you can't get that without putting to practice these two services. Just to let you know, hallelujah. You can wish and hope and pray and dream and daydream and want and stress about wanting and needing the promises of God, but unless you cooperate with His Word, you're going to walk away empty-handed. Amen. So, Father, help us tonight. That's what we need. We need help. I know I need help, and Father, I'm trusting everybody else needs help, and as long as we're not you, we're going to need help. And so, thank you for helping us tonight. Father, speak through me that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Father, I thank you that I will open my mouth and speak words from heaven in Jesus' name. I thank you bullseyes will be hit. Boldness and utterance will go forth. The opportunity for lives to be changed, people set free will be here tonight. And Father, we'll give you the praise and the glory for it. Father, we'll thank you for it. We just are so excited for what you have for us in this service. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, go to Romans 10 and verse 10. I want to show you here. This was where we launched last week. It says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness. And when we talk about faith and receiving God from God, faith is of utmost importance. And the first part of faith is believing. And Romans 10, 17 says, faith comes by hearing the word. The more you hear the word, the more that belief will rise up on the inside of you and faith will be there. And so before you even get to the confession, we talked about it briefly last week, that you got to take care of the believing. And a lot of people are just confessing empty words, thinking things are going to change and things are going to happen, but they're not. And people get down on confession and say the faith business doesn't work and things like that. No, you know, you can fire a gun all day long, and why isn't there no holes going in the target? I'm firing the gun. Well, what's your ammo? Well, if your ammo's blanks, I'm shooting at a deer. Why are the deer standing there feeding, looking at me? I'm shooting. I got it right on them. Well, if you're not shooting the right ammunition, and a lot of people are speaking and they're speaking words, but they're empty. They're empty cartridges. They're just blanks because they're not lined with faith. And so the Bible says, "With the heart man believes." So you first start with the heart and believing. But then, if you want to receive the promises of God, there has to be something you have to do to seal the deal on that transaction on your end. And it's this: with the mouth. Confession is made unto salvation. Now, that is talking about salvation in that promise, but the point of bringing that up is you can see how God does things by going back to the beginnings. The very first promise you ever received from God to become His child was salvation, and the only way you got it was by first believing in your heart, but then you sealed the deal by opening your mouth and saying something. People that do not open their mouth and believe and say something to Him and speak the word and confess that, they're not saved. Why? Because He said that's how you receive from Him. Well, it's the same thing. How are you going to receive your healing? You're going to get it in your heart. You're going to open your mouth. How are you going to get the prosperity, the blessings you need all around your life? You're going to get it in your heart, and then you're going to speak it with your mouth and seal the deal on that thing. And we saw that that is how the promises come. They don't come any other way. And we saw in Mark 11:23, and we're going to look at that verse in more depth tonight, that Jesus said, you'll have what you say. Right? Well, that's what happened with salvation. You can't have healing without saying something. You can't have your prosperity and your change without saying something. Again, you can hope for it. You can need it. You can moan and groan. You can grumble. You can gripe. You can whine and cry. You can stress. You can daydream. You can wish and hope all you want. But until you open your mouth, Jesus said, the only way you're having is if you are saying. Why? Because we learned last week that words have power. That words can create death and life, the Bible says, are in the power of the tongue. In James, he said this about the tongue. He said that the tongue can control a whole person's nature of their life, the outcome, the course of their whole life, good or bad, based on what they speak. In fact, he likened the tongue to the bit on a horse, and the bit does what? Directs that horse. The bit can turn that horse, the bit can cause that horse to slow down, can make it go right, go left. He likened it to the helm on a ship. Well, what's the helm on the ship do? If you want to turn around, you do something with the helm. If you want to go right, you do something. If you want to go left, you do something. It's the same with our lives. What we're saying is where we're going. And where you're at today is a result of what you've been saying, or lack of what you've been saying, or the wrong things that you've been saying. And so we looked at that last week, that words have power, and we went over that, of that confession, and why you need to be saying things. And I'm so thrilled for tonight's message, because tonight we're going to talk about words, but how they have the power to change the natural. Some of us need the natural changed in our lives. I mean, you just pull up your bank account and say, something needs to change. Right, you go to the doctor, or feel in your body, or something going on in your personal life, and there's change that's needed. Well, change cannot come without confession, and you need to understand the power of words and what words can do in change. And so we're going to pick up from where we were last week. Go to Mark chapter 11, but we're not going to go to verse 23 tonight to start. We're going to go to verse 12, Mark 11 and verse 12. It says, and on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he, or Jesus, was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said, well, that sounds like he opened his mouth. Jesus answered and said unto it, the tree, he's talking to a tree now. Someone should commit. We need to send Jesus. We got to get Jesus checked out. You got to get Jesus checked out. He's talking to trees now. It says, he says, no man eat fruit from you hereafter forever. And the Bible says the disciples heard him say that. Well, what did he do? He cursed the fig tree. He said, you're never going to have fruit on you ever again. Well, he opened his mouth. He said some things. And then we pick it up in verse 20. They went and did their ministry business, and the next day came. It says, in the morning, so this is the next day now, as they passed by, they saw that fig tree dried up from the roots. Well, Jesus cursed it, and it happened overnight. Peter remembered verse 21 and said unto him, Master, look, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. Well, what's it mean if it withered away? It's going to do exactly what Jesus said it was going to do, never bear fruit again. Master, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God, or have the faith of God. Verse 23. See, what Jesus is saying is, I didn't do that to show off. I didn't do that to display my Jesus-like powers. In fact, what he's going to tell us in verse 23 is, I did it to show you a principle on the earth. And he said to them, have faith in God. And then he says, for verily I say unto you. So now he's saying, this will work for you guys. To the disciples. And before you get mad and say, I'm not Jesus, I'm not the disciples, he then is going to include you. Did you know that you were on Jesus' mind when he said this verse? He said, I was on Jesus' mind. Yes, you were on Jesus' mind. How do I know? Because he says, whosoever. And guess what you are? You're a whosoever. He included every human being from that point on until the end of time that this would work for. That whosoever. So now he's saying, because Peter's shocked. He said, no, Peter, you guys can do this, and everybody can do this, that if they'll say unto the mountain, so now he doesn't just say it's just fig tree based, it's talking about mountains, but he's not talking about a literal mountain, he's talking about a figurative mountain. Well, what's a figurative mountain? Poverty, depression, anxiety, home problems, mental problems, physical problems, job problems, those are all mountains. But he said that if you'll say to the mountain, notice what he didn't say, pray about the mountain, worry about the mountain, stress about the mountain, hope about the mountain, daydream about, no, he said, say to the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea and shall not doubt his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. What did he say? It will happen. So what's he saying? You can take the mountain that's there, cast that mountain in the sea. What's that mean? The mountain's not in your way anymore. He says, how's that going to happen? Words. Words. Words changed that natural situation. Well, what do you mean? Well, here we had a tree. Let's pretend this is a good lively fig tree. He spoke to that thing. He spoke to it. He didn't pull out a thing of Roundup. He didn't dig up the roots and cut it out. No, his words changed that. And then he said, your words will do the same thing. Your words will do the same thing. And I want to show you a few principles in this for this message tonight here. I'm going to look at three things and then one thing at the end, so I guess you could number it four if you want to. But anyways, number one I want you to see out of this to help you is that the natural was changed with words. The natural was changed with words. Now, we saw this, but go with me to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3. You have to understand this principle because remember now, when we talk about this, you have to remember that Jesus included us in on this to give us an example of what we should do. But Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 3, if I could ever get there, let's see here. He says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed. Well, when you build a building and you frame up, you're making something that wasn't there. When you're framing up a building, all of a sudden something new, there's new construction there. It says that the worlds were framed. So when there was nothing there, and we're going to look at it in detail in a second, they were framed or built or constructed by... Now look at this, you have to understand this, by the word of God. Now look at the rest of that verse. So that things which are seen, which are the worlds, the mountains, the oceans, trees and lands, the things that are seen were not made of things which do appear. Or you could say it this way, they were made of things you can't see. So what we see were made by things you can't see. Well, think about the fig tree now. What caused the fig tree to be cursed? One and one thing only. Words. Can you see words? No, you can't see words. But that unseen realm spoke to the seen realm, and the seen realm had to change. Well, the Bible says back here that that's how God, and we're going to look again at Scripture. Go to Genesis 1. It'll make more sense to you. Go to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Hallelujah. He said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now see, this is just good little Bible school, no free, no charge stuff here. But you know why Christians think that the world is 6,000 years old or 7,000, that there's dinosaurs with Adam and Eve's time? You know why they think that? You know, it's ridiculous. And even though science has clearly proven that that's not even the case, and science and the Bible do not contradict each other. You do realize that true science and the Bible do not contradict one another. When they do the carbon dating and they're talking millions, that's real because Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, they weren't the same day. There was, we don't know how many eons and eons and millions of years between those two verses. And say, how do we know? Well, one reason we know is because when God creates things, he creates things that are only good and with light. But when in verse 2 it says, and the earth was without form and void and darkness upon the face of the deep. God doesn't create anything with darkness. Well, how did it get dark? Well, then you have to study other parts of the Bible and find out that this is all creation type stuff, that in that time, Satan fell from heaven and was cast down to the earth that God made, and Satan brought the darkness. Amen? Hallelujah. Dinosaurs were not on the boat. Dinosaurs, the T-Rex. Can you imagine Noah wrangling up the T-Rex? Oh, I know, we're stepping on some people's doctrines, but it's not true. Study the Bible. You find out that the Bible is so clear on it over and over and over again. And what does science tell us? Same thing the Bible tells us. The brontosaurus, the triceratops, and the stegosaurus, and all your favorite dinosaurs were not on the boat. It's quiet in here. Am I stepping on some people's pet doctrines in here? I must be. Well, maybe we'll get emails and things about this, and people get mad at me. They think it's blasphemy. It's not blasphemy. It lines up with the Word of God. Lines up with the Word. But the Bible says the earth was without form and void. Actually, that word, you want to know what that word means in the Greek or the Hebrew? An indistinguishable ruin. You tell me in the Word where it says that God, when he creates things, it's an indistinguishable dark ruin. No, he's light and everything he makes is good and perfect. But the devil got involved, praise God, and his darkness influenced things over time. Anyways, let's move on. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Oh, see, here's the interesting. When God decided to do something, now it's going to change. Amen? But look what it says. And God said, what? Invisible things that change, make the natural change. Words are invisible. And God said, let there be light. And guess what? There was light. Well, what was happening? The worlds were starting to be framed. How were the worlds being framed? Let there be mountains. Let there be a sun. Let there be a moon. Let there be oceans. Let there be animals, right? How did God create what he wanted? With his words. Amen? Hallelujah. With his words. And the Bible says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. And Jesus put it into existence. He says, we can change the natural by what we say. And see, a lot of the reason why we struggle with this is because words have become so casual to us, and they're not anything we can grab onto, and they come from our own mouths, and so we think, how can it be that important? But you need to understand that words are absolutely the catalyst to what changes things. God didn't come down and physically exert himself and muscle things around. He just spoke it. Because you have to understand, and we'll see this later, that the words are the containers of power. It's in the words where the power is. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, it's not the tongue itself that has power. It's what the tongue can create that has power, which are words. So the natural can be changed with words. Now, that's number one. Now, number two, go back to Mark 11:23. Says, for verily I say unto you, so he's talking to the disciples, but then he says, that whosoever shall say. Now what's number two? I'm telling you here right now. Jesus said this whole word thing and changing the natural, he said it would work for you. Well, that doesn't seem very earth-shattering, Pastor Mike. Then why aren't you changing things? Why are you quiet? Why are you not speaking things? Why are you expecting change? Because you come to church every week? That's why you're going to get your change? Because you're moral? Because you believe in God? Jesus didn't say, if you love God, the mountain will move. What's the mountain moving? The mountain moving is the natural changing. He didn't say the mountain will move because you're moral. He didn't say the mountain will move because you love God. He didn't say the mountain will move because you have all your ducks in a row and you're faithful and you serve in church. He didn't say the mountain will move because you're a tither. He said the mountain will move when you open your mouth. Amen. God was the most perfect and just and righteous and faithful and loving being there was, and the only way he could get things to change was by speaking. God himself had to say it. Hallelujah. Why do you think you're any different? You're not. Jesus said it would work for us. You know, I have proven, you know, Brother Hagin, that's what he built his ministry on, was Mark 11, 23 and 24. I remember going up to his casket when he had died in his open casket and had his Bible right in his hands there laying on him, and it's open to Mark 11, 23 and 24. I mean, he built, that's what he was taught to do, they're told to do, go teach my people faith. Well, these are the faith verses. And I have proven this so many times. I'll talk about a specific one I've proven, but I have proven this so many times where when there wasn't any money, the way I got money to come wasn't by cheating and stealing and working my fingers to the bone and trying to connive and stress. It was opening my mouth. I've spoke buildings into existence. How? Just by opening my mouth. Hallelujah. Healings have come, not by medicine, not by therapy. I'm not against those things. Praise God when those things help. But there's times those things won't help. But you know how they did come? I opened my mouth. You know what was cool, and I don't really stress it a whole lot, and I probably should stress it more, was, you know, in my major financial testimony that I talk about all the time, when, you know, we started the church and we were $1,200 short on bills coming in the mail, and then when you took groceries, baby stuff, gas, it averaged over 2 years, $2,000 a month to be in short every single month. And that didn't even include paying the tithe, so it was actually over $2,000. But anyways, but one thing about in that situation, I was not, like, I find things in the Bible. And when I find things in the Bible, if it happened to someone else, then I know he loves me just as much as them. And if I can find where he did it for one, I know he can do it for me. Well, I found in the Bible supernatural debt payoff. I said, well, praise God, if you wanted that person's debt to be supernaturally paid off, you certainly want my debt to be paid off. And one of the reasons we're paying so much every month is because the monthly payments on all those debts that we had, just from being silly, getting into, you know, when you're not a Christian, doing dumb things financially and things like that. And so during that time, I wasn't just confessing for my bills to be paid. In fact, every single day, and, you know, I told you last week, you ought to have confession every single day. Every single day, you ought to be saying these things. Anytime a thought of doubt and unbelief comes, you ought to answer it with what you're believing. And, you know, I had a confession, and every day my confession was this, and I would say this confession 6 to 8 times a day, just, you know, because the pressure was always in my face, and it was just bombarding me, and I wanted to release my faith. I didn't want to get over. See, remember we said this, hold fast to your confession without wavering, because there's going to be things that are going to come to try to knock that confession out of you. The pressure builds. You have to understand this now. This is a revelation that will help you so much. The pressure will build, and the opposition will build to do one thing, to get you to change what you're saying. That's it. Because if you change what you're saying, you change the outcome of what happens. And see, when people are sick, they're saying, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. Then they go to the doctor and find out it's worse. Well, what's that pressure for? To walk out of there, to change that confession of I'm healed to I guess I'm not healed. Or financially, or anything that they're saying. That pressure comes, and so it's to try to knock the... That's why he said, hold fast to your confession without wavering. Even in the times when it's easy to waver and get knocked around by the wind and waves of circumstance, don't change what you're saying. Because he's faithful who promised, but his faithfulness has to ride in on the wings of what you're saying. Glory to God. And when you stop saying it, he's got to stop doing it. It's the truth. And so I found in the Bible that there's supernatural debt payoff. So I wasn't just saying, you know, I was saying, you know, confessing 6 to 8 times a day. When I would do that, was when I was home with Caleb and I was feeding him. You know, Court had milk stored and I'd just feed him with a bottle and sit there. I'd get up at night, you know, because she had to go to work in the morning, and I'd sit there in that glider rocker and I'd hold him and feed him, and I'd say, now Father, now this is when I'm $2,000 short every single month. Nobody knows about it. I have no salary from the church. I mean, it looks dire. How do I know it looks dire? Because people stress out when they're a couple $100 short a month. Imagine being $2,000 every month. And I'd say, Father, I thank you my bills are paid on time all the time, every single time. Father, I thank you I lack nothing. I'm fully funded, fully supplied. I thank you for a full-time salary. I thank you for insurance. And then I'd say this. I'd say, Father, I thank you for supernatural debt payoff. And I'd sometimes, you know, quote to him and bring it to him and say, you did it for this woman. She wasn't even your child. Jesus didn't even die for her. So I thank you for supernatural debt payoff. Now, here's the thing. I can't see how that's going to happen. But my job's not to see how it's going to happen. My job's to obey and say. And so I'd say, supernatural debt payoff, supernatural debt payoff. Didn't go out and get extra jobs. In fact, I tried to do it in the natural route. And the Lord said the church will struggle if you get a third shift job, because I don't know when I would have slept. I don't know when I would have done things for the church. I don't know when I would have prayed. He said, don't do it. He said, no, that's not the way you get it. You're going to get it simply by opening your mouth. Mountains are going to move by opening your mouth. Amen. You don't have to stress about it. You don't have to connive. You don't have to work yourself to the bone. You don't have to compromise your church attendance. Woo! But I have to. But I love Pastor Nancy. I was in her meetings this week. You know, I just love when she tells it the way it is. She said this. She said, there's nothing that in the world can give you what the local church can. She said, nothing tops your church. Nothing tops going to church. That's from the one of the highest prophets in the land. I said, I know it to be true. But people look at me like I'm crazy when I say it. And when I say things like to people like, you know what? If you're compromising and you're just going to put your job in front of going to church, your job cannot do for you what this place can do for you. I'm telling you, people put everything in front of this place. There's nothing greater than this place in your life. Yeah, I have the prophet to back me up. People look at me and say, who are you? Who do you think you are? You're just pastoring this little church in South Dayton. No, I'm talking about one of the highest people in all the body of Christ. She knows the value, and you look at her life. Why? She's put that first in her life. So many people, man, they struggle all the time. All the time, I tell them, first thing you got to do is get faithful here. You can't even do that. You don't expect to walk in anything good. Amen. Hallelujah. And I said, confess that. Well, I'd be money would show up out of nowhere. Crazy things. We got a notebook full of things. All these amazing blessings. And he said, well, that's because you're a pastor. No. Jesus didn't say, whosoever shall pastor can say to the mountain. He said, whoever just will just cooperate with it. Nobody in the church had a clue about my financial situation. In fact, we didn't say a word to anybody. Money showed up out of nowhere. And at the end of that 2 years, you know what? I never missed a payment one time. Not one bill ever went late. I never even have to ask for extension or nothing. And not only that, I paid off $60,000. How in the world do you cause 60 grand to show up when you're 2,000 short every month? Well, how in the world do you get a moon in the sky? You speak it there. How in the world do you get a sun and put it in the exact perfect spot so we don't roast like marshmallows? You speak it there. How are you going to get your world to change? You're going to open your mouth and speak it into existence. Jesus didn't have to pull the fig tree out. He didn't have to round up the fig tree. He just speaks to the fig tree. It'll work for you. Glory to God. Number three I want you to see is Jesus, notice this, go back to Mark 11, and now go to verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by the fig tree, they saw it dried up from the roots. And then Peter, verse 21, called to remembrance, Jesus, look, fig tree cursed. Well, remember, Jesus cursed that the day before. Don't you think that if when Jesus said that, the disciples heard it, if the fig tree would have withered away right there and then, don't you think that the disciples would have said, look, it's withering away. We know they would have, because the next day when they saw it wither away, they said, look. What's my point? It didn't happen instantly. And Jesus didn't give a rip that it didn't happen instantly. Why am I telling you this? Because faith and patience go together. That's why I said, hold on to your confession. If you just had to say it once and things change, that'd be one thing. But no, you got to hold on to it, because there's going to be tests and trials and hindrances and obstacles and opposition. But if you'll hold on to it, you'll get to the end. Jesus had the confidence to look crazy in front of his disciples and say, I curse the fig tree. Nothing happened to it. And walk away and be okay with it. Why? Because he knew when I speak it, that's when the change starts. I don't have to see, and that's why so many people, I'm going to tell you the truth, you know why so many people don't get healed? Because they get hands laid on them. Did it work? Oh, I still feel that, but it's not a work. No. It works. It starts working when you release your faith, not when it shows up. And so many people are waiting for that to show up, and that's why they don't receive. They're checking to see it. They're looking at their finances. Well, nothing's changing. If I'm saying it, things are changing. Now, it might be behind the scenes, but they're changing, glory to God. I love that it didn't bother Jesus. You just hold on to that confession. You know, If you think about my situation, being $2,000 short, no doubt there were times during through the month, you know, that you could pay one of the bills maybe or two of the bills, and then by the end of the month, you know, they're all due. But there were times that's like in that 2 years, and I wish I would have, looking back on it, been more detailed to write things down. But there were times, I'm saying it for 21 straight days, and I'm not seeing anything extra. Still saying, my Father, I thank you, my bills are paid on time, all the time, every single time. Never miss a payment. Never did. And every time you get in the 20th day, and you only got 10 more days in that month, and it's due, and there's nothing there. What am I doing? Holding fast to my confession every time. And it always came. It always came, praise God. I heard a story I want to share with you about staying with it and just keep saying and keep saying and keep saying. Norval Hayes, who was a minister, just went home with the Lord recently, ran with Brother Hagin, and Pastor Nancy had him in later in his life and things like that. Miraculous things in his ministry, you know, faith man. He was telling the story of how he was invited to a church and to speak for meetings. And when he got there, the pastor said, would you mind coming down to the hospital with me and praying with this couple? They just recently got married. They're younger. And the wife is there, but and she's doing well, but the husband has fallen into a coma. I can't remember what was the exact situation, but he's at the point of death. I don't know if it was a real aggressive form of cancer. I can't remember. And so Norval Hayes said, yeah, let's go down and let's pray. And so they went down there, and the hospital staff said that wouldn't let anybody in. And the pastor said, please, they're part of my congregation. We're here to pray. But the situation was so dire and so sensitive that they told him, okay, fine, you only have 30 seconds. You go in, you pray, and you get out. And now nobody's visiting, like you're going. And so Norval Hayes is thinking, I got 30 seconds. What am I? So he does the smart thing. Ask the Father. Father, what do I do? I got 30 seconds. This is life or death. This guy's about to die, this young couple. And the Holy Ghost says this to him. Tell this to the woman. Mark 11:23 will raise them up if somebody will do it. What's Mark 11:23? Speak to the mountain and be removed. So he has 30 seconds. He goes into her and he says, honey, he says, I got 30 seconds. The hospital staff is pretty serious about this. They're not letting people in here. He said, the Holy Ghost told me to tell you, Mark 11:23 will raise them up if somebody will do it. If somebody will do it, that's the key. If somebody will do it. Well, she said, I'll do it. What do you want? What do I do? He said, start saying, my husband will not die. The power of God's working in him. He's raised up from this. This is going to change. He will not die. He will live. Healing's coming into his body. Start saying it. Anytime you think about, say it. Well, so he left. She thanked him. He left. Well, he came back to the church the following year for a set of meetings. And the pastor came up to him and said, remember that couple over there? And he did. And he said, that's that couple that you went, and the husband's completely fine. And the pastor said, would you like to go meet the husband? He said, no, I want to meet the wife. I want to go talk to her. And so he went over and talked to her and said to her, what did you do? She said, I did exactly what you said. She said, all day long. I'll tell you what, when you want something bad enough, oh yeah, all day. She said, I would say, power of God's working on my husband. He will not die. He will live. He will be raised up from this deathbed. He will live a long, healthy life. All those things, all day long. She said, when thoughts, all day long, just not stop saying it. She said, after 10 days, nothing happened. Holding fast to her confession. Dire. They're saying he's going to die. She said, I think it was, she saw his thumb move. After 10 days, what's starting to happen? Change. First you get the blade of grass that comes out for the corn. Then the stuff starts, but there's first it starts little. Within 30 days, he was completely raised up and healed and whole off that deathbed. Mark 11:23 will work. Raise him up. Someone will do it. Well, guess what? Mark 11:23 will work for you if you'll do it. I've proven it over and over again. This stuff works. But you know what happens is people, you know, after the 10 days, gets hotter and harder, and it knocks the confession right out of their mouth. And the Bible says you want to see the end of it? You got to carry that confession across the goal line. And I'm telling you, it's going to try to get knocked out of you. How? Through opposition, through tests, through trials. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now go with me to Romans 4:17, and we'll close with this. I'm stirred up after that. How bad do you want it? No, it'll show up in your mouth if you want it bad enough. They told a story about Brother Hagin. He was going through major, major financial, I'm talking millions and millions of dollars. So God told him to build Rhema. The money wasn't coming in. Bill collectors coming down. You have to shut it down. And he's just, they said they would see him at dinner time behind at the end of the meetings, and you'd see his lips moving. And they just see his lips moving. And one of the ministers said they got real close to hear what he was saying. And all he was saying the whole time was, it'll come to pass. It'll come to pass. It'll come to pass. Over and over, it'll come to pass. It'll come to pass. It'll come to pass. Why? You'll have what you say. The more you say it, the more you'll have it. Yeah. It'll come to pass. It'll come to pass. I want my healing. Not bad enough for not saying it. I need change in my kids. Not bad enough if you're not saying it. I need my money to change. Not bad enough if you're not saying it. Because how you have it is by saying. Romans 4:17. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Romans 4:17. As it is written, I've made you a father of many nations. God talking about Abraham, before him whom he believed. Notice this, even God who quickeneth the dead. You know what that means? He makes alive the dead things. Now, think of the context of the story here. We're talking about Abraham and Sarah having a baby, 100-year-old man, 90-year-old woman. You don't need Project No to know that's not how it usually works. Does anybody, everybody know what Project No is? It's that uncomfortable class they made you take, you know, in school. You don't need Project No to know a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman aren't the ones making babies. Anyways, when we're talking about the dead things, what? We're talking about Sarah's womb. The inner workings of Abraham's body. They're dead to make babies. But the Bible's talking about Abraham, and he says, I quicken or I make alive the dead things. Because Sarah's womb would have to become alive to carry a baby. All of the stuff in Abraham's body and how it's working in his body would have to become alive to make a baby. And the Bible says that God quickens the dead. Even God who quickens the dead, notice this, how does he do it? And calleth those things which be not as though they are. The dead being quickened in your life cannot come to pass without a calling. And the more you call it, the closer it'll come to you. So how did God call into existence the moon and the sun and the earth and all that? He spoke it. How did God speak to Abraham? How did God get Abraham's body and Sarah's body ready for children? He quickened it by calling things. He said, Abraham, you're a dad, and Sarah, you're a mom. And what did it do? It'll made things alive. Now remember, he did that to their bodies. Jesus changed the fig tree with his words. Remember the Bible says Jesus answered it? Apparently the fig tree was talking. You don't answer something that's not, Jesus isn't crazy and just hearing things. He answered the fig tree. Now, they might not be able to hear it, but spiritually speaking, you say, well, what are you talking about? Well, don't act like your finances and your bills and your job don't have a voice. Don't act like your body doesn't talk to you. You'll never get healed. You'll never break through in your finances. Life's never going to change, right? Well, what did Jesus do? He answered it. Well, what did God do when those dead things were, you know, causing a ruckus? He called them. He said, no, Abraham, you are a dad. What did it do? He called it, made it alive. Hallelujah. Why do we think that we can get results if God needed these results? Like, God didn't even use his magical powers of his hands to touch Abraham's body. He used invisible words. To put the moon up there, look, you should just stare at the moon sometime and think, my goodness, that got there when God opened his mouth. The sun is where it is by God simply opens his mouth. The power that is encapsulated in his word is unbelievable. Woo-hoo-hoo! Unbelievable. You know, I think about turkey hunting. It's going to be turkey hunting pretty soon. Actually, next Saturday is the youth day, so believe me that we get one. Caleb's going to get one next week. You know, he got one last year. We're fired up. We're ready to go. But with turkey hunting, now, there are times you stumble into blessings in life. But the majority of the way things are going to come, it's through this. Jesus said, you'll have what you say. And there's times you stumble onto turkeys. In the years, you know, since I've been hunting, 2001's really, really started hunting quite a bit. Really got serious about it. And I've stumbled in turkeys, you know, where you just walk up and, my goodness, they're around the corner in a field. You can sneak up on things. That's not the majority of the way it's happened with turkeys. The majority of the way it's happened is they're far, far away where you can't even see them. And you let out a call, bah, 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 bah. That's a hen. It's a hen yelping, just in case you didn't know. Bah, bah, bah. And you'll hear so faintly that you're like, you question, did I even, was that? And then you're with somebody, you're like, which way did you hear it? He points this way, I point this way. It's like, oh, we got to hear it again. We don't know. Was that even a turkey? Which way is it? And you hear, that's a gobble. And you hear that far away and faint. Well, you don't hope that that turkey comes by your gun barrel. You don't wish for that turkey to come by that gun barrel. You don't pray for that turkey to come by your gun barrel. If you want to get that turkey by your gun barrel, you know what you do? Bop, 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 bop. You keep calling to that turkey. And you call to it, and then you'll hear, and it'll sound closer. And it gets even closer, and you just keep calling and calling until it's on the end of your gun barrel. It's time for Thanksgiving dinner, Mr. Turkey. Well, how'd you get the turkey to come? By calling the turkey. How are you going to get these things you need in your life? By calling those things which be not as though they are. What was I saying? I have a full-time salary when I had none. I have my debts paid off when I didn't. I am the healed of the Lord in Jesus' name. What am I doing? Calling it. What am I doing with $1 million? Come on, million. Come on, million. Calling it. It's not going to show up any other way. We'll close with this verse, Hebrews 1:3. Well, I'm still getting you out of here pretty early. Hebrews 1:3. Look at the power. See, this is what I was trying to get you to tell you, that when I preach tonight, the exact opportunities that they had when Jesus was in their midst to be changed forever is the exact opportunity you have every time. Why? Because the words are the same. It's the words that have the power. It wasn't Pastor Mike speaking to his debts and putting the word on his debts that because I'm a pastor, I have some power. No, it was the words that changed things. I'll never forget what Pastor Webb said on a bear hunt. I was on a bear hunt with Pastor Webb one time. And he said, God's word in your mouth will work just like it did with God's word in his own mouth. Why? Because the point is, it's God's word. When you say God's word, you're saying, you have to understand, God is his word. Do you understand that? That when you say God's word to your body, what you're doing is putting God on that thing. When you speak in God's word on your finances, God is on that thing. Praise God. And his word in your mouth will work just like it works in his mouth. Praise the Lord. Why? Because Jesus said it would. Whosoever. That's why, now this will make more sense now. That's why in Mark 11:23, when Peter said, look, it's withered away. We have that next verse in verse 22 that says, have faith in God, when the literal rendering of that Greek is have the faith of God. Well, what's the faith of God? We found it with Abraham. Calls those things which be not as though they are. He speaks his word to things to make things show up. It's how he created the universe. And so that's why Jesus said, have the faith of God. Speak to mountains and watch them move. But why is that? Well, Hebrews 1 and verse 3, look at this. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding, notice this, upholding all things. How? By the power of his muscles? By the power of his supernatural strength? Nope. By the word of his power. Listen to what it says in the Amplified. He is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being the ray or radiance of the divine, and he is the perfect imprint of the very image of God's nature, upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by his mighty word of power. Yeah. Hallelujah. You know, I heard Pastor Nancy say this. She was talking about hearing somebody that was talking about how many different millions and millions of galaxies are being discovered all the time. New ones all the time. And it's easy to know why. When God spoke it, he never put a stop on it. When God spoke these things, he never said, now stop, and they just keep going. Why do you think the sun can stay in the sky? You say, well, it's gravity. Yeah, but who created gravity? Who did all these scientific things of why things are there, where they're at, or however the sun's up there and the moon's up there? How can it stay in its spot? It's upheld by when God said, go there, you go there, and it's been upheld by that word ever since. What am I trying to tell you? How much power when you open your mouth, when Pastor Mike Anderson opens his mouth and says, according to Philippians 4:19, my God will supply all my needs, I'll never miss a payment, never be debt. I am taking the power of God and His Word and applying it to those debts, and those debts and those bills have no chance of standing. Amen. This will change your whole life. Glory to God. I've seen it work. I'm going to see more things work too. Praise God. And I'm going to be like that woman every day, all day long, until I see I'm going to keep applying the Word of God to those situations. We need changes. We need turnarounds. We need breakthroughs. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, now you know how to get it. Praise God. We'll see if we have a part 3 next week, but as of now, we're going to stop right here. But Father, we love You. Come on and love on Him tonight. You ought to thank Him for this meal that He delivered. He made it. I just delivered it. He's the chef. I'm just the waiter. We praise the chef more than we do the waiter. Hallelujah. We thank You, Father. We thank You, Father, for this. This will change our world, change our lives. We praise You for it. We magnify You for it. Father, I pray that people be doers of this. This is worth nothing if people walk out of here and continue to talk wrong or don't say anything at all. No, we got to start applying the Word of Your power, that Word that can uphold and fling galaxies and moons and stars and planets and the earth and oceans and trees, the thing that can take a dead womb and make it to be lively. Glory to God. The words that can cause fig trees to dry up from the roots, the words that can cause mountains to be cast into the sea, Father. I pray that people would start saying and seeing the results. And Father, we'll give You the glory and praise for it in Jesus' name. Now please bow your heads, close your eyes. I want to address everybody in here tonight. I don't know everybody personally in here tonight, and I certainly don't know everybody that's watching online or who will watch online. But everybody listen up and ask yourself this question right now. If today were my last day on planet Earth, do I know without a shadow of a doubt that I would go to heaven? Because when I ask myself that question, I'm not wondering if I will. I'm not hoping that I will. I know that I'll go to heaven. And if you say, well, how can you be so sure? Because God's Word tells me how to get there, and I did what He said. And it had nothing to do with being a good person, or that couldn't get me in, and my bad works couldn't get me out. It had nothing to do with how much church I went to or how much church I didn't go to. None of that stuff mattered. The Bible says that my way to heaven is through Jesus, not some religious backflips and cartwheels and trying to cross all your T's and dot all your I's. No, it's about Jesus. If you're here tonight or you're watching online and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, Jesus said, no man can come to the Father except through Me. And He's made it simple. You say, well, what does that look like, Pastor Mike? Well, thankfully, the Bible tells us in Romans 10, it says that if you can believe in your heart, number one, you believe in Jesus, and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, the Bible says you'll be saved. Now, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm not going to embarrass a single person in here. I won't have you stand up or come forward or say anything on your own. But if you know in your heart of hearts, you know what, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. And I do believe in Jesus. Now, I'm not telling you have to understand everything about Him. I'm not even telling you it has to make sense to your mind. But in your heart of hearts, you know Jesus is real. You might not even be able to explain it, but you know. You just know it. Your heart's telling you that. Well, then you're a qualified candidate for salvation. The last thing you have to do is seal the deal with confession. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody's looking around, I'm not going to embarrass you. If you want to receive Jesus here tonight, do not let another moment pass you by. Would you lift your hand high in the air? I'll have you put it right back down. Anybody that's never received Jesus wants to receive Jesus. Again, you're not joining this church. You're not saying, I'm going to start coming to this church. No, you're just saying, I believe in Jesus and I want to go to heaven. Anybody want to receive Jesus? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Raise your hand nice and high. I'll have you put it right back down. Anybody at all before we close? Father, I don't see any hands raised in this service. So, Father, I trust that everyone in here is walking with You, has made You their Lord of their life. If not, I pray they wouldn't pass from this life until they do. And anybody watching online, same thing. Now, if you haven't raised your hand, and you should have, or you're online, I couldn't see your hand, obviously. It's not the raising of the hand that gets you saved. It's the believing and the receiving. And so when you get alone with Jesus tonight, you just get on your knees and you just cry out a prayer like this. Say, Jesus, I believe in You. I believe You died and rose again. I ask You to come into my heart. If you'll pray that and mean it, He'll come into your heart and save you. Glory to God. Everything will be changed from that point forward. You'll have an opportunity to walk into all the good things that God has for you. Father, we thank You so much for Your word tonight. Thank You for our help. Thank you for the increase that will come from this. We declare change is on the horizon. We declare things are going to be different. Turnarounds, changes, deliverances, breakthroughs. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. At the end of service, if you, or when we're done here, you can come up to get prayer if you need. Don't forget to put your offering in the bucket. If you have kids in nursery or children's church, go get them. We love them, appreciate you. We'll see you Saturday. You are dismissed. Hallelujah.